No, I cry every time I see a sunset. To know I smile at all the things I can't forget. To know why my heart may take a while to mend. To know me, you would have to know my friend. I can't help but dream when I hear a train coming. I can't help but laugh when I lose my keys again. If you had to count my quirks, there'd be a dozen. To know me, you would have to know my friend. If you've ever seen fireworks lighting up the sky, then you know how quickly time goes in the blink of an eye. Oh, when there's a hidden treasure you'll take away with you. If you've ever loved someone and they had to leave too soon, to know what I'd trade for one more day to have them. To know what it takes to live my life without them. I could tell you all the details of who I am, but then again, to know me, you would have to know my friend. If you've ever heard a bird sing in the middle of the night, then you know that heaven's waiting to take you by surprise. Oh, and the more you love somebody, the more you have to lose. When they leave this world, they leave their fingerprints on you. To know why I keep on pushing past the limit. To know why I live every day like it's the end. To know why I'm grateful every single minute. To know me, you would have to know my friend. To know me, you would have to know my friend.
Nonetheless, there was a fellow named Bob. And Bob was dealing with stage 4 cancer. He had been struggling with it for quite some time, and it had been getting worse and worse and worse. There was one particular weekend that his wife, we'll call her Bonnie. Bonnie knew that they had been putting off a tough discussion, one that they needed to have. They'd been putting off a tough discussion for a very long time, and it was getting to a point where they could no longer put this tough discussion off. It wasn't going to be long. Things weren't looking good. And Bonnie wanted to know where Bob wanted to be buried. So she thought about it over the weekend. And after some of the kids and grandkids have gone, she thought, you know, Sunday night, I'm gonna bring it up. He's probably not going to want to talk about it, but we need to deal with it. Unexpectedly, around when she was going to talk to Bob, have this tough discussion, Bob himself brought it up and let her know what his wishes were. And it was a good thing to have that discussion, because the next Thursday, he passed away and died. This was probably one of those crucial moments in their relationship where they finally got down to getting real with one another, having that tough conversation. Today we're going to read about a fellow named Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night for one of those get real tough discussions. So let us turn to John chapter 3. We're looking at verses 1 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book, Lord. We pray that you continue to give us guidance through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we not only understand what you have to say here, but that we love what you have to say, that it goes down deep into our hearts and we soak it in. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses has lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the word of the Lord. Throughout the Gospels, we hear about these Pharisees. And most of the Pharisees were not up for discussion, real discussion, getting real, like what Nicodemus does. Like many of today's issues, the goal is to shut you up and shut you down. This is what the Pharisees were trying to do with Jesus. We think about some of today's issues. We think about something like abortion. And if I'm telling somebody about my pro-life stance, they might tell me, you know what? You're a man. You have no say in any of this. And would try to shoot you down and dismiss you and walk away. No discussion. No real discussion. Or when it comes to talking about issues of gender and sexuality, they might just say, you're a bigot. You're a bigot. End of story. No discussion. This seemed to be the approach of the Pharisees. They'll try to catch Jesus in something and then shoot him down. No discussion, no getting real, no really getting into God's word and scripture and what this whole thing with Jesus was all about. But Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night. Is he afraid of what the others might think? Is he looking for an opportunity to be with Jesus alone? We're not sure exactly how it went, but he came to Christ and got real with him, entered into a real discussion. It begs the question, for each and every one of us, have you gotten real with Jesus? You know, the Christian walk, it's more than just going and joining a church. Much more. It's about much more than just participating in a few things at church. It's about much more than just owning a Bible. It's about much more than just listening to Christian radio. It's about getting real with Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, this is what he came for. He came to seek and save the lost, to let them know that it was through him that you can find eternal life. It's through Christ. So Jesus, he skips all the niceties with Nicodemus, and he goes right to the heart. He gets right to the point. He tells him, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom. No one can see the kingdom unless they are born again. No one can see it unless they are born again. As a minister, this is one of my concerns, that there could be people right here in this room. There could be people right next door to us or in our community who maybe have been baptized, who have gone through profession of faith, but they've never gotten real with Jesus. They've never knelt down before Jesus on his throne, have never really repented of their sins, have never really put their trust in Jesus, and have never really walked out of that with the faith that we receive from him. One of my concerns, right in our own community, that there are people that have never gotten real with Jesus, that have always just skimmed the surface. We had my wife and I, and thank you very much, my wife and I had an awesome opportunity to fly out to Denver to be a part of the first Alliance of Reformed Churches meetings, the very first one. It was an awesome trip. There were over 200 people from over 150 churches that are part of the Alliance. It was refreshing for us. There were no overtures for us to deal with, no book of church order to argue about, no complicated packet to read. Worship. We had some speakers. We had breakout sessions. And it was so refreshing. The first night, we had an opportunity, the whole group of us together, to worship. And the first song that we sung was "It Is Well With Our Soul." And we were so loud that afterward, the staff was asking us about what was going on. And not only them, but other people that were staying at the hotel were like, what is going on in that room where you guys are at? And we could tell them we are worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. It is well with our soul. At the conference on the last day, we heard a testimony from a lady. She was in one of the breakout sessions we were in, and when she came back, she had to share her story with us. She had left and went to use the restroom, and when she got in there, she said there was a lady kind of sitting down on the couch that was in the restroom, and this lady, she could tell, was distraught. Was really, really bothered by something, so she stopped and talked to her about it. And this lady told her that she was a grandmother, and that she had been facing all kinds of family trouble. She might end up having to maybe take care of or adopt some grandchildren, and there was a real burden on her. The lady that left the conference to use the restroom, she asked her, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, I am. And she reminded her, "Hey, you know what? Didn't Jesus die on the cross for you?" And she said, Yes, he did. And she wondered, "Well, why do you have such a heavy burden on you? If everything has been accomplished on the cross by Jesus, couldn't you just give all of this burden to him? Couldn't you get real with Jesus and just give it over? All the anxiety, all of the stress, all of the stuff that you're dealing with, couldn't you do that? Get real with Jesus? Give it over to him? Put your trust in him?" She said, Yes, I should do that. So they prayed together right there in the women's restroom. And this lady came back into our meeting and told us the story, and just a joy to see right there in our conference opportunities for people to get real with Jesus. Well, Nicodemus, what is his response? Nicodemus, his response seems kind of silly. We wonder if he's really that unintelligent. Did he really think that Jesus was talking about going back to your mother's womb? We don't know exactly what he was thinking, but he could just be trying to stay on Jesus' level. This guy was a top Pharisee. He was one of the smartest of the smart people in that area. I'm sure when it came to IQ, he was probably way above any of us to get to where he was as somebody on the council, the Jewish council. So he could have been just responding to Jesus the way that Jesus was speaking to him, kind of in this parable kind of speak. He would have known the Bible inside and out. Jesus wanted to be clear with him, though. So Jesus does make it more clear. Jesus says that you need to be born of the water and spirit. Born of the water and spirit. And when Nicodemus heard that, he would have known what Jesus was talking about. He would have remembered the words of Ezekiel 36. Starting at verse 25, we hear this from the prophet Ezekiel. These are God's words. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." This would have come to mind for Nicodemus, that he could be made clean by Jesus. And of course, this is referencing what's going to happen on the cross later on when Jesus takes our sin on the cross upon himself. The new heart, that would also be by Jesus. We're talking about faith and trust. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is sent upon every believer in Christ. receiving the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit in us. What he's calling Nicodemus to do is to start over. Drop all the Pharisaical stuff, all the stuff about earning salvation, all of the stuff about trusting in your own strength, by your own goodness, trusting in being born in the right family, all of these things that Nicodemus would have carried with him. Nicodemus needed to drop those and just go with Christ. Nicodemus, he is skeptical. How could this be? How could I be so far off base? Maybe Nicodemus was ready to turn over a new leaf, but he wasn't prepared for the washing of rebirth, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, the radical transformation, the new life that Jesus was bringing. Did you know that John 3:16 was spoken to Nicodemus? It's not something that I had remembered. And it's something that I hope that all of you are familiar with. Jesus gets to the point, you must be born again. Maybe for you, you're wondering what that means. What does it mean to be born again? Well, for some of you, you have loved Jesus, and you have gone after Jesus. You have loved the Word as long as you can remember. Maybe for you, you don't remember when it was you were born again. But there was a point that it happened. For me, it was when I was 22 years old. I was far from God. I heard the gospel preached for the first time, or at least the first time I listened, and I was born again. I was a changed man. Maybe for you it happened in your 30s or in your 40s. Maybe for you it needs to happen in your 60s. Maybe you have questions about that. Come and ask me. Come and ask Ryan Hull. We can tell you. We can tell you all about it. We can help lead you to Jesus, who is our Savior. Pull him aside. Pull me aside right after this. We'd be glad to walk with you with that. This is what Nicodemus needed. He needed to be born again. He needed to understand John 3:16 that eternal life was through the Son, through Christ, through Jesus alone. Get familiar with John 3:17 to 18. Without Jesus, we are condemned already because we were born under the curse of sin. And he is the only redeemer. Or John 3:19 through 21. Jesus invites us to be part of the kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness. We heard all about that last week from Roger and Sue. Nicodemus, we don't know when he was born again, but we know that the seeds were planted when Jesus talked with him here. A few chapters later, in chapter 7, Nicodemus speaks up on Jesus' behalf at the ruling council. And later yet, Nicodemus joins Joseph of Arimathea and takes part in burying Jesus' body after he died on the cross. I'll end here with asking again, are you born again? Have you experienced regeneration, personal conversion? Do you truly have a heart for God? Do you have the cleansing and the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are you a person that is all about the kingdom of God? Not your kingdom, but the kingdom of God and God's rule, his reign. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the reminder today that nobody nobody is born a Christian, but that all of us must be born again. And whether that happened when we were 3, 4, 5 years old, and we came to know and love the saving knowledge of your Son, or whether we're on the verge of it right now, knowing that it's time to respond to your wonderful and matchless grace, Lord, give us guidance. Show us your will and your ways, and help us as we are called to tell others all about it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.